Hi, and welcome to the Revenue Roundtable. Thank you for joining today. This podcast is designed to provide you insight, motivation, proven ideas from your colleagues in the industry. This is John Cook, host. Engage, listen, and learn with me. Hello, folks, and we're back with podcast number 29. Last one you heard was number 28, and I guess, as I said in the last one, we got renewed for a new season. And I am very excited about that. And again, always to you folks, thank you for listening. And I appreciate even more you commenting and supporting this and making this really good, making it a reality. So I really thank you for that. I am very honored to have with me today Dr. Lee Martin from the engineering department at University of Tennessee at Knoxville. This is a fine city with a lot of fine people and a place that maybe I'd even like to call home one of these days. Lee, we welcome you and thank you for being here. And we're proud to be here with you. I mean, it's just such an honor. So as we get started, in conversation and through a mutual friend, I have learned something about you. You are a true navigator. You help many people figure things out. Most of our listeners and participants in this are healthcare executives and professionals. And the first thing I'm going to ask you is, and I'm going to ask this all year on the podcast, as we navigate through this COVID crisis, pandemic, the new word for it, by the way, in Boone, North Carolina, is called the COVID.
Okay.
So, okay, if you hear me say the COVID, that's exactly what I'm talking about. So in this, how do you see delivery of healthcare being changing or completely different?
Well, John, first of all, it's a pleasure to be here with you.
Thank you.
Looking forward to a nice discussion with you. But how is COVID, the COVID, changing the healthcare industry? I think you're going to see a race to the telemedicine and to the virtual side of things.
Yeah.
Because the fear is driving the system, it's driving the populace, and people want to have less and less contact. They want to wait less and less in offices. And so much of what we do now, we can do virtually and remotely.
Let me skip to another thought I had. Do you think people feel safe in healthcare institutions?
I have had enough interaction with healthcare institutions to know that you better have an advocate with you there, particularly if you're elderly. Somebody needs to be there looking after you because the nurses are stressed. The doctors are nowhere to be found, and you have to have an advocate there if you want to have a good outcome.
I learned that with caring for my mother, and she died of Alzheimer's dementia, but went through a lot of things with that, and that's not a journey I wish upon anyone at all. It's very difficult.
And when I speak of advocate, I'm talking about a family member that is cognizant,
yes,
and able, to,
right,
ask, able
right,
to ask the questions
right,
that are necessary.
Right.
Because the patient is ill. They may be doped. They may be out.
Yes, absolutely.
And you need to have somebody there that is a spouse or a child that can ask the questions that need to be asked. Have you done this? What do those vital signs mean? When is the doctor coming?
Sure.
How do we check out? How do we check in? Because otherwise, you were totally lost in the system.
Yeah. You know, you made me think of my dad. And that's when my mom said, you need to go with the doctor to both myself and your dad, especially your dad. And I said, why? She said, well, what do you hear every time you he comes back from the doctor? What did the doctor say? Nothing. Well, you know good and well he said something.
Right.
But he just didn't want to face it. And I respect that, but, you know, as far as he was concerned, it was not important.
And John, just for clarification's sake, yes, I am a doctor. I am not a medical doctor. Right. I am a mechanical engineering PhD. I teach entrepreneurship at the University of Tennessee.
Yes.
I started several businesses, and I also head up something called the Trinity Health Foundation of East Tennessee. So I do have interaction with the healthcare system.
We're actually going to talk about the Trinity Health Foundation, which I have read up on, and it is a tremendous foundation. And I do want to talk about that. I'm going to ask an engineer, a navigator, where do we begin to navigate the COVID virus? Notice I said the COVID.
The COVID virus. I think we begin with the truth.
Yeah.
There's a lot of fear-mongering out there in the media for political purposes.
Uh-huh.
And to give you an example of how I believe you can prove that, is all you have to do is go on two different search engines and search the same information about hydroxychloroquine, and you will get completely different results. If you search Google, everything's negative. If you search DuckDuckGo, it's about 50% negative, 50% positive, but it's the only place that you will find positive papers of real studies that have been done by real people. And as long as the healthcare system and the CDC are playing political games, the faith in our healthcare system is in a demise.
Wasn't it always getting there? Do you think it was before the COVID virus?
Oh, it was.
That it was, we were getting there?
No, it was before the COVID
virus. Oh, yeah. But, it's just...
You know, frankly, what I see in so many industries that are pay for play, if you've got a hammer, everything looks like a nail.
Mm-hmm.
So if I need cancer treatment, if I go to an oncologist, they're going to drug me. If I go to a radiologist, they're going to radiate me. Mm-hmm. If I go to a surgeon, they're going to cut on me.
Yeah.
So every nail needs a hammer. And that's not honest treatment. That is treatment for billing. And that has caused me to lose so much faith in the system.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you know, patient experience is my wheelhouse in healthcare. I did work as an executive for 22 years in a hospital, and then so patient experience. I've trained clients in culture, in providing good patient experience, and I just, you know, we're talking about the telemedicine. I keep hearing this word from people locally and people I talk to say, I don't want to go to the hospital. I'm afraid to. I am afraid to go to the hospital because not necessarily that I may get the COVID, but I'm just afraid to go to the hospital. Can you speak to that? I mean, a little more.
Well, the closest thing I can speak to that was a mother-in-law that had dementia, and the last 6-7 years of her life, she was in and out of the hospital probably a dozen times. And just the checkout processes to get her out of the hospital,
yeah,
particularly on a weekend, forget it. And she could be well as could be, as far as she'd been in 4 or 5 days, and Friday afternoon comes, there's no way she's getting out until Monday morning, but Monday morning turns into Monday afternoon.
Yeah.
Because there's nobody there to check her out.
And sometimes Monday night.
No processes, no procedures, no hospitalists to be found, checking you out to places. We don't run other businesses that way.
No. Yeah. You know, I told you the story at lunch today about the situation of being the person requesting not a hello or how are you today, Mr. Cook, or I see you're here for your test. The only word I got from her was, I need a photo ID. Well, number one, that was cold. I need a photo ID. And finally, my wife had parked the car and she brought the photo ID in. But what was happening is this girl was doing the process. Getting the photo ID, scanning it, getting the insurance card and scanning it. She was so stuck on the process that she forgot to be nice.
But as you told the story, the scan was already in the system.
It was in there.
Okay.
From a visit to the ER.
That's right, which was 3 days before.
Yes.
In your record file.
Right.
So the process is screwed up.
Yeah.
You have put a person, whether they're a good person or a bad person, I don't know, but you put them within a bad process.
Yeah.
You know, for your listeners, I would say, what's the difference in getting a sandwich at Chick-fil-A versus getting a sandwich at Burger King? You know, you got Chick-fil-A, you got Burger King. Think about your experience. The difference is process, training, and the people that you recruit to put in that.
Exactly.
It's that simple. It's not rocket science.
Right.
It's attitude. And the attitude in so many hospitals is, I'm the only hospital around, and so many doctors, I'm God.
Yeah.
That you got to go through me. You don't have a choice. It's like a monopoly. And every time you get in a monopoly, like Comcast, okay, like your favorite cable network, do you get good service from them? Not really.
Not really.
Until a second cable company comes in the neighborhood. And then lo and behold, the
service is a little better. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think about hospitals spend millions of dollars on marketing. And one thing, and I'm going to call somebody out on this, but I'm calling them out in a positive way.
Good.
Ballad Health, Johnson City, Bristol, Kingsport, had the most wonderful, wonderful advertisements. I mean, they are top notch.
Mm-hmm.
And they'll even draw a tear, too, you know, when I see one on television. Mm-hmm. But you know what? They back it up.
Good.
They back it up with good care, good doctors. But there are some that advertise beautifully, but they're just not following up with what they're talking about. Mm. And I think that is a thing. Critical touch points that are in a hospital. The lady, morning, the ID. You know, when I finally got the ID, I said, here's your ID, and you can, and I didn't say that, but, you know, that's how I felt. That was a bad touch point, because by the time I got back from my test in radiology, I was shaking.
Yeah, but I would say to you, it wasn't her fault.
No, it wasn't.
It was the process and system that she was
using. You're right.
And you could interchange her with 5 other people.
Yeah, yeah.
Maybe having a good day, maybe having a bad day.
Right.
But if they're still asking for information they just got 3 days ago, the problem is with the process.
Yeah. Right. You know, I'm doing one thing personally. And I have to. It's called reinventing.
Okay.
And I am reinventing myself because of the COVID virus, because things change so much.
Rapidly.
Rapidly.
They're still changing.
And they're still changing.
As we're sitting here talking.
Yeah, and I'm thinking, I've got to reinvent myself. Mm-hmm. And I've taken a hard look at the time I spent kind of on hiatus. And I spent that time learning how to grow, to really grow.
Good for you.
And it was almost like, some people call it hitting the restart button.
Yeah.
But
You're here at the Pavilion of Pickleball.
I'm here at the Pavilion.
I am reinventing, by God.
Yes. I mean, we're talking about reinventing. And but the most important thing I've learned from all of this, and this goes for patient experience, is engaging with people. And that's my top word for the year. Engage. 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 We're engaging. I'll probably engage with someone else this afternoon because I'm just that type of person. I'm an extrovert. Mm-hmm. And you know, by the way, the extrovert part of this is extrovert and social distancing. They just don't go together.
And I can't read you if you got a mask on.
Yeah.
I don't see your
exactly.
smile. I can see a little bit through the eyes.
Yeah.
But not that.
And I even think about that patient experience. Yeah. I want to see someone at the desk or the nurse. I want to see their smile because that smile is comforting.
Communicates a lot.
Yes. I'm going to ask you another question.
Sure.
How do you lead? This is how I end every podcast. and I've learned a lot from it.
Okay.
How do you lead?
If you read Good to Great, they've got the level 5 leadership.
Yeah,
and there's
yeah.
all sorts of information there. My approach is to try to create great systems and find yeah. good people to put in those systems. Because
right
if
on.
I create lousy systems and put great people in it, they're frustrated.
Yeah.
And my customers are frustrated.
Right.
So it honestly starts with thinking through the systems.
Yeah.
And then what I try to do is I try to live the systems before I turn it over to somebody else so that they're not just in my head.
Yeah.
They're proven.
Yeah.
And then I can teach somebody else how
yeah.
to do it. I'm actually in the process of that here.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Long story, but I won't go into it.
Yeah.
But I'm in the process of establishing and learning the system so that I can then plug in good people to do it well.
Oh, wow. Thank you. Yeah. I want to give you some time here in closing to tell us about the Trinity Health Foundation of East Tennessee.
Okay.
I know you chair their board.
I am the president of
okay.
it. I'm actually not on the board. I was on the board.
Okay.
Now I'm a volunteer president.
Okay. Okay. Okay.
We have 2 staff members that really run it.
Yeah.
2010, 2011, we had a major sale. There was a group called the Mercy Health System, and I'll tell you this fast. That was a combination of Baptist and Methodist and Catholic systems uh-huh. in the area. They formed the Mercy Health System, and then the Mercy Health System, which was a not-for-profit health system, sold to Tenova, which was a for-profit health system.
Mm-hmm.
They've been raising money for indigent patient care for 25 years.
Oh, wow.
Had a significant corpus there.
Yeah.
We had a board, a benevolent board of about 15 people, and most of us thought we'd never see any money out of that transaction, but we did. And
wow.
So 2011, we began the Trinity Health Foundation of East Tennessee, whose mission is in the ministry traditions of Christ to serve the body, mind, and spirit of the 9 counties around Knoxville, which
yeah.
was the footprint of the previous healthcare system.
Yeah.
So we run every year an online grant process where we take 5 of the most pressing healthcare issues, like the COVID
yeah. Yeah.
upset every apple cart this year.
That's right.
Years past, it was the opioid crisis, access to healthcare, et cetera. And we do a competitive bid, just as if it was a military contract or something.
Yeah.
We then review those competitive bids for the quality of the idea and the potential sustainability of the idea. We do a phase 1, sounds like the SBIR process, and then a phase 2. $15,000 to $150,000 to a number of organizations.
Right.
We've set up soccer fields. We've done telemedicine. We've done marriage initiatives to try to strengthen the marriages. We have also done healthcare clinics and established those. We go in and we go out in a year and a half and then expect a plan that sustains as time goes on.
Oh, wow.
We're just south of having given $10 million in the last 9 years. So we'll cross $10 million in donations in our community.
This is awesome.
Yeah, it's just been so rewarding. It's been a wonderful thing.
I want to encourage the listeners to Google.
Yeah, they can find that at trinityfound.org.
Trinityfound.org.
Thank you. And that's all of our stuff.
Great. Check it out. Thank you, Lee, for being here today. Thank you for hosting me here in Knoxville and the opportunity to talk with you, engage with you, and grow with you.
Pleasure to meet you, John. Thank you so much.
Thank you for listening. I would love to hear your comments or ideas. Feel free to reach out to me at jcook@revcosolutions.com.